I'm Dr. Tony Perucci. I'm a professor at Cal State Northridge. I had invited Reverend Billy to my campus in the spring for his performance and action that included the action at Starbucks for which he was prosecuted and later convicted. And my students have been working with Bill and Savitri this both in the spring and this fall doing performance activism. And we're here today to continue our performance activism against corporate criminals. Today we're working against Disney and, of course, Starbucks. So we're here to continue the Starbucks work while Bill is in prison. So we plan to do some spat theater in these stores, and we plan to continue to spread the Reverend Billy message about the conditions of the Guatemalan children who work in the coffee groves under horrible conditions, under low wages. And we plan to continue to spread the good word and to spread the good word that there is another way, that there is another option, and that Starbucks' green image is false. It's fake. It's phony. We've had a number of responses from people, especially students at the Cal State Northridge campus, who have said that, you know, since that action, they have not returned to a Starbucks. People who have said that they no longer go into stores that now they know are sweatshop companies like Starbucks is, like The Gap is, like Banana Republic is, like the Disney store is. So many of the students on our campus had no knowledge of the sweatshop conduct of these corporations, and it's really transformed their perceptions of how they can participate as citizens.
Ashley Elliott, communications studies student. We're doing a performance protest at some of the local stores like Starbucks, Gap, and Disney Store.
And what's a performance protest?
It's where you go into the place of business and you... You're not necessarily doing like a protest where it's like blatantly obvious what you're doing. It's more you sit there and you're having like a normal conversation, but you're bringing up like different things like, you know, oh, I heard that Gap uses a lot of sweatshops and blah, blah, blah. So you're just having kind of like a dialogue with someone else. And then you might have someone else that's in your group that would be like kind of like the devil's advocate and be like, oh, well, why is that a bad thing? And so that just keeps the conversation flowing. And then you start to get, like, other customers in the store listening to what you're saying, and they're kind of like, what did you say about sweatshops? So it just kind of puts things out into the atmosphere, and people are kind of, like, taking it all in, and then it might go away from that experience thinking about, oh, well, you know, my Gap sweatshirt was made by a child in a sweatshop somewhere in some country I can't even pronounce kind of thing.
And have you done actions like this before?
One other time about 3 weeks ago, we went to a Walmart in Porter Ranch, and we did a performance protest there for about 45 minutes. And then after we did that one, we kind of split up into like little groups and went and did more of our own individual ones. I went with another girl and another guy to a Petco, and we did one there.
My name is Nicole Bate, and I'm a student at CSUN. Basically, I came with my class, with Dr. Perucci's class, and we're going to actually protest a few stores here. So, you know, it's part of protesting against sweatshops. So that's what we're here to do.
So people hear the word protest and they think you might run in with huge signs. What are you planning on doing here today?
No, I'm pretty calm when it comes to that. I'm not into the running in with signs and throwing stuff. And really it's just about trying to get a message across to everyone about, you know, what exactly our issue is with a certain store. That's basically it. I mean, it's not really about trying to make a big dramatic scene or cause any type of problems with anyone or any, you know, nothing violent. We just want to get an idea across to everyone of what's going on, and so that they really know what's, you know, what's happening with these corporations and with these particular shops that we're going to be protesting.
And what is going on with these corporations? What are the issues that you have with Starbucks and Disney and The Gap?
I'm just actually starting to learn a lot about it, so I don't have all the details, but I'm just from what I've been learning, one shop, like Starbucks, for instance, they have sweatshops in like third world countries where they have like you know, workers who are locked in for like maybe 12 or 13 hours a day and for 7 days out the week, paying them maybe like 13 cents, you know, an hour, when maybe the living wage is like maybe a dollar or maybe 98 cents or whatever the living wage is much higher. And so what we're doing here is to actually, we're not trying to, like I said, we're not trying to cause any problems or anything, but we just want to let the people know that where they're shopping, how these corporations are treating other people in other countries, and just get that message across. Disney, for instance, they're charging maybe like $50 for like a Snoopy toy or some type of Disney toy, but they're paying these people who are making them like maybe 10 cents an hour. And it's just, you know, that's basically what we're here to let the people know, what's really going on with these shops, you know, the truth about the shops and the corporations and what they're doing.
And what does motivate you to get out there and do this?
First, my teacher got me into this. Like, he just really enlightened me about all the things that are going on, you know. And then the thing about it is that, like, I know, I guess because of my history, you know, with civil rights and all the things that my family has been through with civil rights and fighting for rights, I kind of can, like, feel what these people are going through in these other countries. And so it's like, it's motivating me to want to go out there and help them, you know, like, because my family have done civil rights back in like the 60s and the 70s. And, you know, that went on for a long time. And it's just like, it's kind of like in my blood to like go out there and just do it. So.
My name is Gary Butterworth. I'm a graduate student at Cal State Northridge in Dr. Perucci's class in performance and social change. And I'm here not only to support Reverend Billy in spirit, but actually to get involved in one of his SPAT theater interventions. He calls it a retail intervention. And we're going to do a little something in a couple of different shops here in the mall and basically be a part of the Church of Stop Shopping.
So can you describe what the SPAT theater is all about?
Sure. What it is Reverend Billy has found over the years that in locations like a restaurant or a bookstore or something, that most of the time managers will allow, say, a couple, like a married couple, to carry on with some what we call a spat, a marital spat. They'll let that the volume of that sort of get out of hand. They sort of leave that alone for you. Well, you know, they're married, just let them kind of work it out. And unless there isn't any real physical violence going on, which of course they'd step in, they kind of let it just sort of play out, figuring, well, you know, they're just having a little lover's quarrel or whatever. So we'll kind of let that go. So what they've done is they found that you can do that, but you can't, on the other hand, have two people come in and get in some sort of a debate about, you know, real issues like politics or economics or something. So what they've done is they've sort of taken that paradigm of the lover's spat and used it for content. So you have two people come in initially saying, oh, honey, I didn't really want to come here. You know, I don't know that this corporation is involved in Guatemalan children that work as, you know, slaves in the fields and their whole family has to. Yeah, but I didn't really want to come. So they go on and on and on, but they get those ideas kind of, you know, sort of a subtext come to the surface, so to speak. They let those ideas kind of bubble up to the surface, and suddenly these political ideas and concepts are actually coming through as a theatrical kind of a performance, whereas the people watching aren't quite sure what to do then, because they're watching this spat, but they're also hearing all this, you know, politics. So sooner or later, the people running the place will sort of catch on that they've been had and probably ask you to leave or tone your voice down or whatever. But the point is, in the meantime, you've been able to sort of get those ideas out there. And people watching are influenced by that in one way or another. Even if it's initially, it's just like, oh, get out of here with your politics. We don't want to hear that. But at least they are exposed to it. Whereas if you think about it, and, you know, listeners of KPFK, this is not anything new to them, but there really isn't any place to go anymore where you can have kind of a public dialogue around people. You know, our society is so corporate-driven now that we're sort of taught to act and behave and speak in certain ways in public places that don't allow that kind of a forum.
Savitri Durkee, and I direct Reverend Billy in the Church of Stop Shopping. Reverend Billy is a anti-consumerist preacher. He wears the right-wing costume and says the left-wing language. And we have a big choir in New York, a big gospel choir. We travel around and we go in these chain stores and try to slow down the transnational commerce. And what are you directing here today in Babylon Court? We're working with some students here from Northridge who we worked with a couple of weeks ago doing small plays, spat theater, in some chain stores here at the mall. We try to sort of sneak other language into retail space, try to interrupt retail space, change the texture, find some traction, and get some information out about sweatshops and, in general, the super greed of the transnationals. So a lot of people have been talking about the way in which social movements and social actions have been co-opted in the last couple of months, or maybe even longer, by the election. What do you think of the future of activism in the United States? I don't know that our power has ever really rested with the executive branch in this government. In my lifetime, certainly, I've never had anything but a broken heart. The government has always disappointed me. I don't know that that's where we need to look right now for change, for social change. It seems to me that we should all start working in our neighborhoods a little bit more and look to the local to find the global. I think we really need to consider our own politic and how political we are being. You know, we can sit here all day and complain about George Bush. We can sit and complain about the electoral process. But we also have to know that there are a lot of people who aren't complaining about it. And how do we change that? I mean, how do we wake people up and get them political? You know, that's, I think, where my concern lies. And also, basically, I think we forget that everything we do here affects people somewhere else. We live in this weird bubble, this consumer bubble, and we just don't think about where products come from. We don't think about their labor history. We don't think about the resource history. And to me, I think that's the first step now, is just to start recognizing that our dollar is our vote in this country, actually.